The scripture reading that Terry read was read also last week. I'm not going to read it again, but I'm going to talk about the verse that I want to talk about is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. Now, all of us have seen military marches. We've either seen them in person or we've looked at them on a movie or a documentary or something. And if you'll notice, everybody's keeping in step. Everybody's keeping in step. They're in line. And it's very interesting, this word, where we sometimes this word is translated in the NIV in a very, very interesting way, because usually the NIV is a phrase translation, but this is a literal translation. And some of the other translations that we have, like King James and so on, they say, walk in the Spirit. And we've heard that, and I'd like to talk about that too. But this idea of keeping in step is just like a military march, and you see all the legs are going together with a beat. And the word actually means to march in line. To march in line. But most of the versions of the Bible, most of the translations, translate it walk. And that's very important as well, because throughout the Bible, that has been the metaphor for the Christian life. It's been a metaphor. It's been a symbolic word for the Christian life. It's not what your talk is, it's what your walk is, right? The Christian walk. And it's about expressing a relationship with God. Not just a belief in the mind, but an actually walk with the feet, that you're actually going along with God in a relationship, like a walk. And that's what the Christian life is. It's walking with God with Christ in the lead. He is the leader of this walk. Now, if we just take Genesis, if that's all we had, we'd think that God had created us to be caretakers, to be servants, to take care of the universe, to take care of the creation and everything. That's what we would look at if we looked at just Genesis alone. But the end of the Bible has another picture. Not just servants, but a beloved bride. God wants us to be His bride, the bride of Christ, the church. And it's interesting because marriage requires an agreement, a marital agreement. And the Bible asks us a question. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, he says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, God is asking us this question about walking with Him, because God's already made known that He is willing to walk with us, but are we agreed to walk with Him? And this is the question. Now, follow me. We hear that word a lot in Scripture. Follow me has always been God's call to us. Follow me. Now, when we usually think of Jesus when we hear that. You know, Jesus said, follow me. But if you look at this in the Old Testament, God has always wanted us to follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. That's from the Psalms. And all we like sheep have gone astray. That's from Isaiah. These are Old Testament phrases that help us to recognize we need a shepherd. We need to walk alongside our shepherd. We also see it in the Garden of Eden, right in the very, very beginning, when the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why was God walking there? Because He wanted to have fellowship with His creatures, with those who were made in His image. And our service to God, even as caretakers of creation, our service to God comes out of an intimate relationship with God. It's a walk. God wanted to walk us through this so that we could walk with Him. He walks with us so that we can walk with Him. We can't learn to walk with God on our own. He has to teach us. Now, after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned and so on, that kind of guiding relationship continued. God wanted to continue this. Even it's not that, you know, okay, they blew it, I'm forgetting them. Forget them, you know. No, He did not forget us. He still wants to walk with us. And this is shown in the relationship in the life of Enoch. And you know, because I preached this message last week, I'm going to preach, I preached it over there in the other service, I'm going to preach a little message on Enoch. It's a little shorter message, but it's about Enoch's life. But we're not going to talk about Enoch. But one thing about Enoch that I really want to point out, the life of Enoch shows where a walk with God can take you. Where is it going to take him? And it says in here, it would lead him, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. God took him away. And we know from later on where God took him. He took him to be with him. And Noah's walking relationship with God was the basis of God's choice for him to be the one that would build the ark and save the animals and his family. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. He walked with God. Now, God called Abraham to walk away from his land into a land he had never seen, a place he had never been to. The Lord God said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." Not, "I'm going to point you in the direction and go there." I will show it to you. Why? Because he's going to be walking right alongside of him. This is the point. God wants to walk with us. And you know, this same call that Abraham had is a call on our lives as well. None of us, I don't know, maybe some of you might have had a near-death experience or something, but none of us has seen heaven. I guess I shouldn't say that because some people do have these near... Terry, did you leave that book over there? I just want to point something out. This book right here is, as Terry got it in, and I probably got one too, in the mail from Steve Babby, who gives us a lot of books, our district superintendent. He's not the president, he's district superintendent. Anyway, Encountering Heaven and the Afterlife, and it's people's stories about their near-death experiences, and were Christians that recorded it, and then they came back, of course, so they could tell us. And so, yes, yeah, so, but we've not seen it for good, if we have seen it, if we have an experience like this. And so God is calling most of us to somewhere we've never been, just like Abraham. He's never been there, but he was called to go to a land he's never seen. And Jesus promises to take us there. That's what we're going on. We're going on a promise, something we've never seen. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Do you see how God wants this walking relationship with us? He wants to be with us. And he wants us to be with him. It's like, yes, but we haven't seen Jesus. I mean, I've not seen Jesus. I watched a movie recently. I did not like the movie necessarily because of the violence. That's how Hollywood is. But it was a good movie. It was called The Book of Eli. And the hero in The Book of Eli acts like a man on a mission. And he's hearing this voice who's being led by a spiritual voice. He's going on this mission. He's got a destination he's got to go to. He's never been to. But he knows he's got to go there. And though he seems to have extremely good vision, because he's doing all this ninja fighting and everything like that, you know, he seems to have really good vision, but he wears dark glasses, and he reads Braille, and he quotes from a verse in Scripture, in the King James Version, because that's what he's reading in Braille, is the Bible. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. You see, our walk is like Abraham's walk because we don't see the land. We don't see heaven. We don't even see Jesus. What we see is the promise. And we hold on to it by faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a very interesting Hollywood movie out like that. Well, I've never seen Jesus, but I've walked with him for many, many years, and so have many of you. But that doesn't mean we've walked perfectly. I haven't walked perfectly. In the Moving Spirit that came out recently in the pastor's parcel, I wrote this: God may be calling us to keep up with his pace while we hesitantly lag behind. Or he may bid us to sit still with him and rest and restore our souls, but we hurriedly run on ahead, losing his comforting presence in the process. You see, we can actually run ahead of God, or lag behind God and not really be walking with Him. But the Christian life is walking with God, with Christ in the lead. And that's the meaning of follow me. Now, follow me. Follow me with the Old Testament, but follow me in the New Testament is about the Holy Spirit. It's about God's personal guidance. Now, pride often hinders us from letting God give us direction in our lives and directing our footsteps. Those who say, well, you know, I'm my own boss. You know, I run my own life. It's a thing of personal sovereignty. People with that personal kind of sovereignty find it hard to submit to the sovereign rule of God, the sovereign reign of God. He is king. And it's interesting that Judges, two times in the book of Judges, where we see so much chaos in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, there was no leader. There was no one leading. So everybody's walking on their own. They're doing what is right in their own eyes. Their own direction, their own thing. They're doing their own thing. And the first step in keeping in step with God is humility towards God. Humility with God. Micah 6:8, Terry preached on this passage one time. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk with God in a humble way. Now, there's something about humility. Holy humility, sacred humility before God, is not to lower yourself, but to recognize your lowly position before our Creator. That's the thing. It's to recognize who we really are. We're creatures. We can't run our lives. We need our Creator to show us the way. We need Him to walk beside us. Now, Pentecost, and I know that we're green now. We're not red. We're green. But that's still part of Pentecost. Kingdom Tide is part of Pentecost. The spread of the kingdom that the Spirit wants to do in the world is part of Pentecost, but we call it Kingdom Tide. But we're still in Pentecost season, literally. And Pentecost was that time when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. And it was God's way of establishing an ongoing relationship so we could have the personal guidance, personal direction in our lives, where God would walk with us on the inside of our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit was given long before Christ came. In Ezekiel, it says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." He's talking about the spirit being on the inside, but the Old Testament people didn't get to experience that. There were times where certain people had the spirit come on them and leave. Come on them and leave, but not to indwell until Pentecost. When Jesus came, He explained that the Holy Spirit would be this kind of a teacher. He said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said." Now, this is interesting. This wasn't just a promise to the apostles. Some people teach, oh, that was just for the apostles. The Holy Spirit will come on them and remind them of everything so they can write the Bible down. I've heard that. I've heard people teach that. But the same John who said that in John 14:26, over in the letter of 1 John to the churches, to the believers, here's what he says. "As for you, the anointing," and that's what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit. "As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him." What was the Holy Spirit's main purpose to teach us? It wasn't to teach us every detail of our life. Sometimes we think that, and maybe we need some help on some of those details, and it's okay to ask, "Holy Spirit, give me some guidance here," and He will. But His main focus was one thing: remain in Him, remain in Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Obey Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit's main ministry is, to exalt Jesus and get us to follow Him, to get us to walk with Him. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to do. It's all about one thing. It's all about a walk with God. Now, why is Pentecost the longest season in the Christian year? We have the red and then we have the green, but they're both together. Then they go and they go throughout most of the Christian year, and more than half, actually, of the Christian year. Why is it the longest season? It's because it's about what's happening right now in our personal lives and in our corporate lives, the corporate life of the church. It's our walk. It's our walk with God. We have an individual journey. We have a corporate journey as a church to walk with God. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's interesting because the new birth came by the Spirit, didn't it? We live by the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave us new birth. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. The life of God is, the new life from God is within us. And if you have never asked Christ into your heart, that's what you first need to do. We live by the Spirit is the first step by being born again, by saying, Jesus, please come into my heart. When He does, He'll bring the Holy Spirit. But then, it's personal guidance. It's not just for Christ to give us a born-again life. If a baby was just born but was not raised, that would not be right. And we don't do that. God doesn't do that either. God wants to take us along with it. This new life that He's invested in us, being born again, He wants to raise it up. And He wants to walk it through the steps of life. Personal guidance and divine empowerment comes by the Holy Spirit's ministry to us. Spiritual growing, so that we can have spiritual legs for the journey. Spiritual walk with God. And that's why every born-again Christian should be thinking about today, every day, and for the rest of their lives. Now, all people are moving in a direction. Everybody, even if they're sitting still, they're moving in time and they're moving in a direction. But are they going to get to the right destination? That's the question. There was a British commuter on a London train, and he told the conductor that he wanted to get off in Doncaster. And the conductor said, "We don't stop at Doncaster on Wednesday," the conductor said, "but we do slow down through the junction. So if you'll hop off, you can make it. But mind you, we'll still be going at a pretty quick pace. So you better hit the ground running." And then, so the guy listened to what he said, and he did as he was told. As the train slowed down, he jumped off. He hit the ground running. He ran so fast that he caught up to the next car. A conductor opened the door, grabbed him, and pulled him in. He said, "Oh, you're very lucky, sir. We don't stop at Doncaster on Wednesdays." We can literally wear ourselves out running in the wrong directions and not making any spiritual progress. We can literally do that. And if we do not keep in step with the Spirit, if we keep in step with the Spirit, we will not wear ourselves out. Isaiah 40:31 in the Living Bible is a very good translation of this. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Our Christian life is a walk with God, with Jesus Christ in the lead, leading us by His Holy Spirit. We will reach the divine destination God has for us if we walk and keep in step with the Spirit and do the walk that He's planned for us. And guess what? We will not wear out in the process. Let's walk with God. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the invitation. Thank You that You do invite us to walk with You all through this life. And I pray, Father God, that we will. That we will not give up along the way, that we will keep our step. Even if we are in a sick bed and we can't walk anymore, Lord, we can walk with You, because that's what life is about, is walking with You all the way until You take us home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.